good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And just a reminder to download the Civic Media app that allows you to call and text directly from the app. And you can also listen to all of the stations and all of the shows all across the network. So go to wherever you get your apps. Our app is free.
So you almost said buy.
I know, buy. Wherever
you, can buy that app.
You can buy that app.
I'll sell it to you.
Send us money if you want, but otherwise it's free. So download the Civic Media app. It is Earth Day, so we're celebrating all things Earth. And we're very excited to have our guest with us. She's with the National Wildlife Federation. Becca Munich is joining us. Good morning, Becca. Thank you so much for being here. I think, Becca, your mic is muted.
Nope, it's on.
It's on. No, we cannot
technology.
Hear you.
Technology.
Yeah, you can call us.
Rebecca has the right idea.
She does. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. If you ever want to call, text, because we're going to be talking about PFAS and PFOs and PFOAs and all kinds of things.
Pichwaba.
Yeah. No, he's not. He's not involved in this conversation.
Okay.
But he could be. And talking about the EPA recently designated these two PFOAs and PFOAs and PFOSs as hazardous substances, addressing the agency's commitment to looking at serious threats posed by these chemicals to public health and to the environment as well. So this is something that connects all of us. Now we can hear something.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I had a bit of an echo.
That's all right.
Okay.
How are you doing, Becca?
I'm doing well. Sorry for that technical glitch there.
It happens. That is not a problem. Just glad you could join us. So let's talk about this recent designation by the EPA. What does that mean? And then what will the next steps be?
Yeah, really the last couple of weeks have been huge in terms of designations around PFAS. So last week we saw hazardous substance designation for PFOA and PFOS, two of the most commonly studied and some of the most toxic PFAS out there. And what that means for folks is that basically there are more resources available under the federal Superfund for cleanup of those. You can actually hold polluters accountable for paying for cleanup and planning for cleanup if a site is contaminated with those toxic chemicals. And this actually just comes on the heels of another announcement the week before, putting drinking water standards at the federal level on five different PFAS. So April's been a banner week for protecting people from PFAS, for sure.
That's great news. It really is. Because again, we've talked about this. This connects all of us. It involves all of us, and not just you and your family and your grandchildren, but your dogs and your cats and anything in nature. We all need clean water. That is the big connector for everything.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things for folks in Wisconsin that's really exciting, with both of these, but with the last one, there are a couple of sites in Wisconsin right now that are being investigated and being to see if whether or not they should be Superfund sites for cleanup. And this new designation for PFOA and PFOS will help make the case for that designation and get some resources into those communities.
Can you tell us where those areas are in Wisconsin, Becca?
No, I actually don't know off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
It's probably French Island, I would imagine. They've been drinking bottled water for I can't tell you how long. This is a little community near La Crosse that has had, that they've just been drinking bottled water for years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a lot of different sites, I think over 100, that are under investigation right now in Wisconsin.
Oh, my gosh.
For PFAS contamination. And so, you know, the ones that folks hear about in terms of the water being contaminated in French Island and Peshtigo, and forgive me, I'm from Michigan.
So it's Peshtigo. No worries.
Anything.
You were pretty close.
Wow. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Sorry. No. I know, but come over here and try to pronounce our new city names in Michigan. So.
Ishpeming. Got it.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
For people who may not be, you know, very knowledgeable about this, and there's so much stuff going on all the time, Where do PFAS come from, Becca? What processes end up giving us this?
Yeah. Unfortunately, they're a slippery set of chemicals that are used in so many different products that we have in our everyday lives. Everything from like our Teflon pans to even our dental floss, and things for use like putting out petroleum fires with firefighting foam containing PFAS. So they have a lot of really useful characteristics, nonstick, flame resistant, waterproof, Gore-Tex shoes, for example, are PFAS. So they've been used in so many products, and then we end up finding them because of the production of those products or the disposal of those products. But even some of the things that we use in our homes can actually have the exposure to folks when they're using the product in their home or in their daily life.
Do I have to worry about this on the rare occasions when I floss my teeth?
Ew.
That's a good question. I mean, worry is a relative term, right? I think if you've got some dental floss that is that super glide stuff and you're looking to buy some new stuff, you might want to just switch over to the newer product. The real concern is going to be for the folks that live near the factory that's making that product or downstream when, you know, we throw everything into the garbage and if you're living close to a landfill. So that's a real concern there. There are other things that you're going to have higher exposure rates to in your daily life. When you think of cosmetics, because they are close to your skin. The real thing is that we need these standards because we don't all need a PhD in chemistry to do our daily shopping.
Well, one of the things you mentioned, and I think we hear it every once in a while in when we listen to Congress talk about it, the Senate talk about it, or in these interviews, is the Superfund, which mm-hmm. I think is one of the worst named things just because it's like when you hear it, you're like, what's the Superfund? Hold on. Can you explain a little bit about the Superfund for those who may not know about it?
Yeah, basically it's the fund term, I guess, that the federal government uses for really contaminated sites that need to be cleaned up. So it is totally a misnomer because it's not like fun at all.
Right.
It's not super other than they're super contaminated.
Yeah.
And so having chemicals actually be designated as hazardous substances with the federal government makes it so that their federal resources can be used to clean up those sites that are contaminated with those chemicals. Quite often, it's not just one that's going to be at any contaminated site, but this will offer more resources for those places that have PFAS contamination that are looking for a federal designation of this Superfund. As we can laugh about, but super important.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Becca Munich is our guest. If you're just joining us with the National Wildlife Federation, it is Earth Day. So we're talking about all things Earth, and certainly clean water is a big part of that. I'm wondering, Becca, what the National Wildlife Federation has found in animals related to water contamination.
Yeah, this is of concern for us for all kinds of different species. There's our friends at Environmental Working Group put out a really great report late last year on really PFAS chemicals in human health, really being heralding the problems that we're seeing for wildlife as well. So in the Great Lakes Basin in Wisconsin and Michigan and other places like that, we see PFAS contamination, particularly in certain fish species and sometimes in animal species that we hunt, like deer and things like that. So there's the impacts that are going to happen on the wildlife themselves. These chemicals, for example, may concentrate in reproductive organs, and we know in humans that PFAS chemicals lower fertility and things like that. So there's concerns on fisheries and maintenance that way. But we also know that it's not safe to eat high levels of these fish or deer if they're contaminated. So not too far away from me here in Michigan, up in Oscoda, we have a do not eat the deer advisory because of contamination from a former Air Force base, the Wurtsmith Air Force Base. And you've got contamination in fish, and there's some advisories out in Wisconsin as well.
That, I mean, you know, I know that not all hunters, when they're hunting, they're looking for the venison meat, but I mean, and the hunting doesn't stop, of course, either, but it just has to take a certain thing out of the whole, like, you know, I mean, I don't know, growing up, my friends who hunted, one of the things was you'd get a bag of venison meat from their dad because there was too much to go around. And so now it just seems like it's a more of a, you're hunting to control the population. That's it. It's not even as, I don't want to say enjoyable, but you know, it's no longer as.
Well, because of these concerns.
Exactly.
About, right,
exactly.
That the meat is going to be contaminated.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that we are advocating for National Wildlife Federation and other organizations, is that to truly stop this problem, we need to turn off the tap on these chemicals. We actually need to get them out of production. There are safe alternatives available for many different products. Just right next door to you in Minnesota, they passed a MARA's law, which is one of the strongest in the country, to ban the sale of products containing PFAS. They start out with a group of different products, and then they're moving to others. So until we actually stop using them and producing them, we're going to be chasing this problem and having an issue with our hunting and fishing and things like that.
Yet another reason we have Minnesota envy. Yep. We talk about it all the time. And Michigan.
I know.
And Michigan envy, yeah. Quite honestly. Yeah. We have Michigan envy.
There's
also.
There's two parts to your state.
By the way, we want the Upper Peninsula back, but that's a conversation for another.
But we are too lazy to get it. It's fine.
If people want to get involved, Becca, with the National Wildlife Federation, what can they do?
I would ask folks to take a look at our website, nwf.org. If you're in the Great Lakes region, which most of you are, you can find just nwf.org/great-lakes, and then you can find out more about where we're working here in the region. And we are happy to connect with you. We work with community members all over the region that are interested in this, hunters, anglers, drinking water, folks that drink drinking water, things like that.
Thank you so very much for joining us. We will get the link up in our show notes. Those go up about an hour after the show is done. She is with the National Wildlife Federation, Becca Munich. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you so very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Stay close. Raccoons in the news next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do. I'm a raccoon, how do you do? I would like to play a game with you.
Oh, we're going to let this go for
a
little
game. The raccoons
play. I have a complaint.
All through the night and all through the day.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Krabby Greg Bach, and Sweet Kelby on the... coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. You can always join us at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to ruin. What's your complaint, Greg Bach?
This song is just trying to normalize and make raccoons all cute and whatnot. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas. Literally, I found one in my trash a couple years ago. Just trying to be a good citizen. We're talking about Earth. We're talking about taking care of the Earth.
Right.
I was throwing away my trash in my city-provided receptacle, open it up. What's in there? A raccoon, as if looking at me saying, what are you doing?
Don't bug
They're
me.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They will turn on you if in a moment's notice. Let's stop playing music that makes them sound cute.
PJ also agrees with you. Raccoons, a.k.a. trash pandas.
Thank you very much, PJ.
Yeah, there was a raccoon that had a kind of unhappy ending.
Oh.
Okay. The power was blown out to about 16,000 people in Oak Creek in South Milwaukee Saturday night, about 9 o'clock. They were able to respond quickly, We Energies, and restored power to just about everybody by midnight. We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation, which feeds power to customers. We've had Brendan Conway, who's the spokesman for We Energies. When We Energies spokesman Brendan Conway quoted in this article from WISN said the raccoon was touching two pieces of equipment at the same time.
It's like when you try to plug your, you try to use your microwave while your air fryer is going, but there's not enough energy to come out of the, and you're like, you blow a circuit.
I just have
We had so much fun with this.
I know. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one. And it's
Rick the raccoon.
Sure. It never ends well.
Well, what's funny is that you asked the question right away. You said, how does We Energies know? Because I said immediately, this is a lie. So Tony from accounting was on a ride along and he's like, hey, can I touch this one? And they're like, no.
So blame it on a raccoon.
Exactly. But then you said there are probably cameras there, which I totally discarded that theory because it makes mine funnier. I just imagine a raccoon with a big mustache, a la like, you know, a 30s villain tying a woman to a
train tracks.
Just like taking two wires and going, I destroy all things in my life. And then bah.
We Energies says animal contact is responsible for about 10% of all their power outages. Fortunately, most of those that are caused by animals are quickly restored. But I just found that funny.
Yeah.
As an Earth Day kind of, I'm sorry, Mr. Raccoon, it didn't end well for you, but shouldn't do that.
Did the raccoon die?
I think it's pretty much a given that the raccoon did not make it.
I don't know.
It wasn't mentioned in the story, so I think it's a fair assumption to say that Mr. Raccoon is no longer with us. We had someone text in, because we were talking about Earth Day. Check out Professor Heather Cox Richardson's Daily Letters on Facebook. She talked about the history of Earth Day in last night's letter. Her letters are a daily must-read for a great breakdown on daily events. She would be a great guest to have on the show. Thank you so much for that. Listening here on WAUK, Professor Heather Cox Richardson. We'll see what we can, if we can track her down.
And earlier we had on Becca from the National Wildlife, but Becca Munich.
Munich
from NWF, National Wildlife, words.
Words are hard.
Yeah, National Wildlife Fund. And she was having some problems with getting on the live stream, hearing her. So she called in, and Andrew from Maine with the win saying, Miss Becca, you can call or text via the free civic media app even. And that wins for best promotion from a non-civic media employee all day.
Texter Angie from Monroe texting in, I had a raccoon kill a huge farm cat I had. I hired someone to get revenge and dispose. They hurt your chickens. They are not so nice on a farm. I believe it, Angie.
Yes.
They're huge. When I had a house in New Berlin, on the lot next door, there was a hollow tree that this raccoon, I bet that thing weighed 45 pounds. It was huge.
Yes.
It was just huge.
They're not so cute, are they, listening public?
I know. It's when they're babies. Well, of course, anything.
Anything's cute when it's a baby. You know what else is cute? A dragon.
Tom from Madison is on the line. Good morning, Tom. Thank you so much for joining us.
Morning. Happy Earth Day.
And
happy Earth Day.
Yeah, I was camping in Florida a long time ago, and someone had broken into my van. The alarm had gone off, and I opened up the door, and sure enough, there was a vent on the top, and someone had punched in that screen that was up there. And I looked, and everything seemed to be intact. My wallet was where I left it. I was out kayaking at the time, and everything seemed okay. So finally, I crawled up on the roof of the van, and sure enough, there were raccoon prints.
Wow.
Basically, tried to break into the van, and the alarm probably just scared him off.
Nice van, Tom. Shame if something happened to it. This is my buddy Rick.
Rick the raccoon, we're taking it for a spin.
I'm Sunny.
Well, that's really interesting, though, Tom, because, and as Greg pointed out, too, the opposable thumb is a big advantage, boys.
Yes.
That's a big thing. Did you ever run into him face-to-face, Tom, or no?
No, but some of his companions might have been hiding out in the wheel well of the van at that same campground. There were a lot of raccoons there, and so you had to check your wheel wells before you started up and move.
Or you don't.
Thank you so much for joining us, Tom. Thank you so very much for listening.
Thank you
really
very much.
Appreciate it. Yeah, they're trash pandas.
In the few moments we have before we have to go run and take a water break, I want to just mention something that was interesting to me in the interview with Becca and Brett. mm-hmm. was that they both said something that struck me as odd, is that Brett said earlier that the pipeline that they're working to get rid of,
Enbridge Line 5.
Exactly. It's no longer needed. And then Becca went on to say PFAS are no longer needed to make the things we need to make.
There are alternatives. There are
alternatives. But yet they're still being done. And there are ways to ban them, as they did in Minnesota. So that, to me, is just saying to you folks that lobbying makes a difference. There are companies out there that have hardcore lobbying firms, lawyers who are writing these laws for us. They're not for us. They're for the companies. So if you want to make a difference in this world, seriously, we harp on it, but it's true. You got to get yourself to the ballot box. You got to get yourself out there. You got to vote. Myvote.wi.gov, because we need clean drinking water. We need better conservation practices. And the people who are going to do that are the ones who are really working for us. So get out there, vote, and make your voice heard.
And just a reminder, too, we will get the link for Clean Wisconsin, mm-hmm. also the link for the National Wildlife Federation. We'll get those links up in the show notes. And you can always find the show and all the old prior episodes at civicmedia.us. All you have to do is click on Matt Nair on Air, and that will take you to the show page. All right, we have news on the way next when we return. Three headlines and a lie. Here we go. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
That's my name. Are you having fun playing my game? It's really easy. All you have to do is hide and then jump out and shout peek-a-boo. Hide in a tree and I go peek-a-boo. I'm hiding in a bush and I go peek-a-boo.
Peek-a-boo.
I'm hiding in the grass and I go peek-a-boo. I'm a raccoon. I'm a raccoon. I'm a raccoon. I'm a raccoon.
One heart's breaking, the other's just fine. She tells me she loves me two truths and a lie.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call, text 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform Elon continues to ruin. A shout out to everybody listening in La Crosse on WLCX, The Eagle. That was not good.
It's in the morning. It just saw a raccoon. It was like, oh God.
We'll have to find an eagle sound. And you can always download the Civic Media app. That way you can call and text directly from the app. I didn't want to share some breaking news as we come back from the news here. The completely peaceful tourists, the hostages now being held in connection with the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Well, they're going to have another buddy joining them. According to the Associated Press, a far-right extremist group leader was sentenced, this happened on Friday, to more than 5 years in prison for repeatedly assaulting police officers with various weapons. Scott Miller helped lead a Proud Boys chapter for Maryland and D.C., and coordinated with other group members before attacking the Capitol, according to federal prosecutors. The 33-year-old attacked police 7 different times with weapons, including a bottle, a stick, and poles. So, again, please don't tell me that these were all peaceful protesters and now they're being held hostage. This man is going to jail for 5 years.
It is Proud Boy Tours and Excursions.
Yeah.
That's the name of the group. Proud Boys Tours and Excursions, because they take you through.
Gotcha.
And then you get to throw things at cops.
I just think it's an important reminder.
Absolutely.
Because there are still folks who are like, no, it was all, everybody was fine. You're taking this way out of context. No, this is the context.
And whether it's your uncle who sends you those unwanted forwarded emails or the people who are in office in D.C., do not forget who keeps saying that. Just because.
It's just an important reminder.
Because they might change their mind one day and say, oh, yeah, they're terrible people. Well, I remember when you called them patriots. Just tour-loving American patriots.
And hostages.
So, one thing I'll never forget.
All right. We are moving on to three headlines and a lie, in which Greg Bach shares 4 headlines.
Mm-hmm.
3 of them are true.
Yeah.
1 is a lie.
Yeah.
I have to select which one is the lie. I have a pretty bad track record so far.
You have a consistent track record of losing. So here's, like, you are great at it.
I am. I'm consistent.
I think that you, you never take an official partner from online.
I do not.
I don't think you should be allowed to be influenced by the listeners and watchers today.
Why?
Because I took on Sherry as a partner and we worked in concert.
You did.
Whereas last week I felt like you were just being fed intel the entire time and then still managed to pick the wrong one.
Fine. I'll walk out on the tree limb alone. Bring it.
Okay. All right. Let's start with, this is three headlines and a lie. Four headlines. Three of them are true. One of them is a fib.
All right.
All right. We're starting with the first one.
Yes.
An artisan roastery based in the Finnish capital has introduced a coffee blend that has been developed by artificial intelligence in a trial in which it's hoped that technology can ease the workload in a sector that traditionally prides itself on manual work. It is only apt that the Helsinki-based Kaffa Roasteries, AIconic, that's amazing,
gotcha.
AIconic blend, was launched this week in Finland, a Nordic nation of 5.6 million that consumes the most coffee in the world at a 12 kilograms per capita annually. That seems like a lot. According to the International Coffee Organization, that sounds like a spy front, the blend, an AI-picked mixture with four types of beans dominated by the Brazil's velvety Fazenda Pinhal. I apologize for pronouncing that.
Just say it really fast.
Fazenda Pinhal.
There you go.
Oh, wow. That was fun. Mm. Quote, leveraging models akin to ChatGPT and Copilot, the AI was tasked with crafting a blend that would ideally suit coffee enthusiasts' tastes, pushing the boundaries of conventional flavor and combinations, unquote, said the owner of the roastery.
So AI-generated coffee in Finland.
Correct.
All right.
All right.
Number two.
Number two. A 4.8 magnitude earthquake shook New York City on Friday. This is actually a little bit older. So on Friday, as the Yankees went through batting practice before their home opener. 3 days later, the Yankees played after another natural phenomenon. Though expected this time, as they had 15,000 fans to arrive. Expected this time, as the first 15,000 fans to arrive will receive a Yankees solar eclipse T-shirt. So they played through they had batting practice through the earthquake.
Okay.
They played during the solar eclipse. Now the 27-time World Series champions hold another new record, playing during a third natural phenomena. Because less than normal cooler temperatures happening along the Northeast, halos, which are lighted circles in the sky produced by light, typically from the sun or moon, interacting with ice crystals suspended in the atmosphere. Halos can have many forms, ranging from the colored to white ring to arcs and spots in the sky. Many times during the game, players and fans alike could be seen staring up at the halo, which looked to be directly over the stadium, and during the fourth and fifth inning. Yankee fans have always thought of this park as a holy place. I guess today we have proof, said one fan of the team. Just like a Yankee fan to think they're special. All right, moving on to the next one. Headline number trace. The sound of a vehicle backfiring spooked a circus elephant while she was getting a pre-show bath in Butte, Montana, leading the pachyderm to break through a fence and take a brief walk, stopping noontime traffic on the city's busiest street before being loaded up back into a trailer. Viola was getting a bath behind the Butte Civic Center just after noon on Tuesday when she was startled, Civic Center manager Bill Melvin said. Viola is an Asian elephant with the Jordan World Circus, still participated in two performances on Tuesday. That's a game time player right there. After her time on the lam in the southwestern Montana city of about 35,000, that in the late 1800s was the world's largest copper producing area. So, backfire of a car, scared an elephant, still performed.
Still did her job.
Still did her job.
Still showed up
for work.
That's
a professional Viola right there.
All right.
And then finally, fourth headline. A Nigerian chess champion and child education advocate played chess nonstop for 60 hours in New York City's Times Square to break the Guinness World Record for longest chess marathon. Tunde Anakawa, 29, hopes to raise $1 million for children's education across Africa through the record attempt that began on Wednesday. He has set out to play the royal game for 58 hours, but continued until he reached 60 hours at about 12:40 a.m. Saturday, surpassing the current chess marathon record of 56 hours, 9 minutes, and 37 seconds. Achieved in 2018 by Norwegians Halvard Haug Flatabo and Serge Frekenstad. I didn't make those up.
So close.
Thank you. The Guinness World Record Organization has yet to publicly comment about his attempt. It sometimes takes weeks for organizations to confirm any new record. So those are your four headlines. The first one is
AI-generated coffee.
AI-generated coffee. Okay. Second one is a bunch of natural phenomena the Yankees play on.
Yep.
Third one is Viola, the professional pachyderm. And then finally, Tunde and playing chess to raise money for Africa.
I know Viola is real because I saw that story.
Okay.
So I know Viola got away and then went trotting around Butte. There was some video of it that was actually pretty cute.
According to Corey Hartman, our very own Corey Hartman, Viola also used to perform at Circus World in Baraboo.
Oh, no kidding.
Until they retired large animals last year.
Yeah, there aren't many places that do that anymore.
No, a lot of them have replaced animals just with like the spectacle of the circus.
Which I think is good.
I agree.
Actually.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the chess.
You think chess is the fake one?
Is the fake one.
Okay. Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
And did we ever get a drum roll? I don't think I asked for a drum roll. I didn't ask for a drum roll. That's on me, folks. You are incorrect.
Oh, jeez. I am consistently bad at this.
What led you to think the chess one was...
Because last week you took an actual story and you changed a couple of things.
Correct.
And I thought, I can see this happening,
mm-hmm.
but you changing some of the details.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I went with that one.
Yeah.
I'm staying away from the AI-generated coffee. Although...
Because you want the robots to get you?
No. Just because it was so long and so involved.
Yeah. Me reading it?
That there's just so much in there that I am led to believe that is true.
You thought in order to perpetuate a lie, I overcompensated with words.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I take that as a half compliment, half insult.
And the other one is the Yankees playing during the earthquake,
yeah.
and then the solar eclipse, and then the halo.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can see happening, but I didn't see that in the news anywhere.
That's why, because it was fake. It was a lie.
So that is the lie.
That is the lie.
See, I got there eventually.
You did. And that's what I'm always going to do, is I'm always going to take a true article and I'm going to...
Twist it.
Because I'm not as creative as you are. You can write a whole new story. Sorry, folks. You can write a whole new story and craft these characters. Whereas I'm like, I'm gonna throw a natural phenomenon in there.
Well, and that's a better way to do it, obviously, because I am consistently losing.
I mean, I think it has to do with my story. I almost forgot which one was fake for a moment. I was like, wait, which one's fake?
it's important that you know those things.
Yeah. No. So that was the fake one. They did make AI coffee, and we know Viola is for realsies, and congratulations to Tunde Anakawa. Kaya.
That was quite an accomplishment.
Tunde Anakoya.
For breaking the Guinness Book of World Records for playing chess.
60 hours.
Wow. Do we really want AI coming up with coffee flavors?
I think it's more to get your name in the papers, honestly. Doesn't it already do that if you think about it? I'm sure that's... Other companies that make coffee, I almost said other company names, probably employ focus groups and research and what do people like. And it's not AI like feeding things into a computer, but there's already enough computer integration into what we eat and drink on a corporate level.
Right.
you know.
I suppose. I guess I just have this vision of a robot drinking coffee, and that doesn't make me feel like that's necessarily the good choice.
Don't talk to me before my morning coffee. Bleep, blorp, bleep, blorp.
But it shouldn't be developed by someone who's actually going to drink it.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. Also, I don't care enough about AI coffee, but where AI coffee is, then what's next? What's next? What's next? But yeah, I mean,
this is our world.
This is our world.
This is our world.
We're just living in it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A reminder, baseball tonight, the Brewers at the Pirates. The game starts at 5:05, and you can catch the game on News from the Center, WRCE in Richland Center, and also Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. And I forgot to mention this at the top of the show. Yay, Bucks. Bucks beat the Pacers last night, 109-94, in their first playoff round game. I know Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area will be very happy about that. He joins us every Friday.
Damian Lillard scored 35 points in the first half.
Giannis wasn't out.
Yep.
And Giannis was out.
And also, yay Brewers, the first place Brewers. They're in first in the Central, two games ahead of everybody else, and they swept the Cardinals.
That's nice.
Which, a Cubs victory is fun. A Cardinals sweep is just cathartic.
Nobody likes the Redbirds.
Except them.
Except them. All right. Stay close. A great story about country music star Luke Bryan. It's very, very funny. Got to give him props for this.
Heck yeah.
You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She's not hurting, I'm dying inside. I guess I'll just move on to truth and lies.
Morning, welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us, call, text 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. News is coming up at the top of the hour, followed by our friend and colleague Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show. Todd is going to join us tomorrow from 10:30 to 11 o'clock.
Heck yeah.
To kick around the news. And Todd followed from 2 to 4 by the one and only Maggie Dawn. So you can keep it here all day long. I know both of them are going to be talking about Earth Day subjects as we celebrate all of Wisconsin's beautiful and wonderful precious natural resources. So stay tuned for that. It's also Earth Week.
Yes, it is.
So I think Maggie has a number of guests coming up across the week talking about Earth Day. I saw this story. It came across my feed this morning, and I'm really glad he didn't get hurt. But Luke Bryan was performing at a country festival in Vancouver, Canada, over the weekend, and he's kind of hyping up the crowd.
Yeah.
He's walking across the front of the stage, and then he slipped and fell, boom, flat on his back. We have a little sound from that, Calvin. Let's play that clip.
Did anybody get that?
Because everybody's got their cell phones out, you know.
All right. It's okay. Hey, my lawyer will be calling. All right, I gotta see it. All right, let's zoom in. Zoom in.
So.
Here we go. There it is. Hey, I need some viral. This is viral, all right?
Oh, I need some viral.
You're totally viral now, Luke Bryan. Ryan performing over the weekend at a music festival in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And apparently a fan had put their phone on the stage, and that's what he slipped on.
People throw phones.
About?
My guess is that they hope that they'll take a selfie or throw up. I have no clue. I don't even like taking my phones into concerts. I don't like taking pictures during concerts.
Doesn't it takes you out of the experience.
That's my moment. And I get to remember that for as long as my brain can hold those memories. I don't need to take a picture there's nothing wrong with taking a picture. But like when you go to a concert and the phone is just up the entire time.
Yeah,
you're like, not there.
I don't understand. Well, anyway, fortunately, Luke Bryan was not hurt. Flat on his back. But what I thought was so funny was because everyone was recording it on their phones,
yeah,
and he took another fan's phone and had his camera crew zoom in on the fall, and then they played it on the big screen behind him.
Yeah.
And you got to give the guy credit for being a good sport and having some fun with it.
In today's day and age of iconic performers, like Luke Bryan is a huge country star. Like, he sells out arenas and stadiums, and it's easy for tremendous egos.
Yes.
And anything that goes wrong on stage, I've watched so many videos of, you know, a background dancer or someone causing a problem, and the response of the artist themselves is so important. Some people are like, let's just get up and keep doing our thing.
Right.
Other people look like they're visibly mad. It's like, mistakes happen. We move on. Big ups to Luke Bryan, who is a year older than me. And it shows, because I need some. Mr. Bryan, even grandparents are like, bro, you sound so old. I need some viral.
Apparently, these also slipped before while dancing in skinny jeans during his Raised Up Right tour in 2022. And years prior to that, he was rocking out in North Carolina, got a little too close to the edge of the stage, and he fell off.
Oh.
But again, Luke Bryan, not seriously hurt. Glad to hear that. And it's very funny. We'll get a link to that too in our show notes so you can take a look.
Watching artists, like when Bono fell off the stage, that broke his neck.
Yeah.
Like, it's scary.
Oh, it is scary. They're more than, you know, they're not just 4 feet off the ground.
No. And some of these individuals are not 25 years old either.
Right.
Their bodies have made tremendous changes.
Well, as you said, Luke Bryan is 47.
Yeah.
But props to Luke Bryan for having a good laugh about this.
And come on the show. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Can we stop throwing our cell phones at people that we're supposed to want to go see?
I'll take us one step further. Can we stop throwing anything at people on stage?
Yeah. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
Yeah.
Come on, people. We should all be able to agree that we don't throw things at people we've paid money to see.
Also, I don't want to throw something that I've paid way too much money for.
Right?
At another person, probably never to get that item back. Because, I mean,
you get a special deal on burner phones or something? You buy them in bulk? I don't know.
It's my Wednesday phone. It's fine.
Right, exactly. However, that works.
I don't understand that. Maybe I'm an old man, but yeah, I just don't get that. Just keep the phone in the pocket. Enjoy yourself.
I want to do a little promo for tomorrow's show, because we're going to have some really special guests in here.
Yes, we are.
We had talked to the people from Versity.
Holly McCarthy.
About a month or a month and a half ago, about the importance of organ donation.
Correct.
And it really is critically important. There are far more people on wait lists for organs than I think most of us realize. Mm-hmm. And we are going to have... Colleen is going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to have a woman who is the mother of a donor.
Yes.
And we're going to talk to a donor recipient.
Correct.
So I think this is going to be a really wonderful and very, very insightful conversation. I highly encourage you to join us. If organ donation is something you've thought about, maybe it's something that makes you squeamish, maybe it's something you don't, you know, I just think it would be really great for you to tune in.
Yeah.
And hear about the impact that this can make.
Absolutely. I mean, just Colleen had the interview with us, and it was so great. She asked if she could come back. We said, absolutely.
You bet.
And we're going to have a great discussion, very positive. So in the 11 o'clock hour, please come back tomorrow and
join us.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right. Stay with us. News is next. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you all so very much for listening and for calling and texting. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.